Sodomite revival has begun, and I'll say it, and I'll never apologize for telling you the truth. This is a fact. Pedophilia is part of the Sodomite LGBTQ movement. Don't you be fooled. You go back and study from 1969, the modern movement that began at Stonewall Union up there in New York, where they rioted because they were being told they couldn't have sex in the streets and have sex out in trailers. There's 18-wheeler trailers they filled with men, and I won't get into all that, what they were doing. And they rebelled against the government and had a riot. But from that point on, so that's what gave birth to the gay pride movement. Most Americans have this pretty idea of, oh, this gay couple was discriminated against, and that's what caused it. That ain't what caused the gay pride. The gay rights movement was begun by a bunch of fornicating, wicked, abominable people gathered by the dozens for group sex in public. That's what started the so-called gay rights movement in America. But I'll tell you this, from the beginning, you can find that the leaders were pedophilic. Even Harvey Milk, I mean, you saw the Harvey Milk, they named a ship after the guy, and he was having sex with young men. How many of you watched the Kinsey Syndrome DVD, the Kinsey Report? You ever watch that? You got to watch it. It's ugly, but you got to watch it if you're going to understand what's going on in this country. It's the Ohio State University and University of Indiana paid people to molest children and collect the data. And that is on record, and you won't hear about it in the mainstream media. You aren't going to hear that from anybody. And the whole Kinsey thing was based on also these college professors at Indiana and Ohio State and prisoners. And then they used that information as the data to then tell you 10% of the people in this country are gay and so forth. And then I think the last one I'll bring up is the visible church in apostasy. That is, a lot of people don't even realize that's one of the signs of the times even. Jesus said in Luke 18:8, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" That's where Jenny got the line in one of the lines in her song that we sang a little while ago. It'll be so apostate. There's a picture of Jesus knocking on a door to get inside a church. Well, you know what? If anybody in here is saved, and I believe y'all are, you brought Jesus with you. Amen. If there's a church building where Jesus is knocking to get in, it's because people in there aren't saved. Laodicea, Jesus is knocking to get inside that church. Those are unsaved people in there. And that's been taught falsely by a lot of fundamentalists through the years. And they've said, well, we're in the church of Laodicea. But there's some saved people. No, not at all. It's a church who the members are naked. If you're saved, you're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. You're not naked. Those people are blind in Laodicea. Go read it in Revelation 3. Yep. They're blind. I once was blind, but now I see. Amen. And so a lot of this, I've been telling you, there's so much false teaching on this stuff, even by people that otherwise claim to be Bible believers. But the apostasy of evangelicalism has begun. Of course, I showed you how the evangelical media is embracing Sodom, little by little, and bringing it in. So that list goes on and on of things that are the stages of being set. We see the beginnings of it and all that, so the church can look up. If you're saved, if your church is made up of Bible-believing, born-again Christians, you can look up. Verse 28 again says, "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up." I take that as a commandment. See, but it's not just, I'm going to have a positive attitude. Everything is beautiful. It's not just this, but that's what the world has been selling with the positive thinking and the Norman Vincent Peale and the Robert Schuller stuff and all that. Just think positive, be happy and positive. It's not like that at all. It's that because I understand the times, I understand the word, I understand the signs that Jesus said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, look up. And it's not just be positive. Look up, because he's coming. That's why you look up. So ignore false teachers who rob you of your urgency or try to panic you with false prophecy. All over the place there's these people who say they believe in the pre-trib rapture. And I have a dream. Last night I had this dream. And I had a vision. They make these YouTube videos and everybody's watching them. Like, oh, it's rapture could happen next week because of this dream this guy had. No, the rapture could happen today. It's because of the Bible. And all this, and people have been having those stupid dreams and visions since the late 90s and putting them on YouTube like it's going to happen in a few weeks because that dream. Here we are 20 years later, still no rapture. I'm not going to base my belief in the imminent rapture of the church on anything other than the fact that God said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, look up. God's people have been plagued with false teachers throughout history, by the way. I want to look at our reading, I believe it was yesterday, Ezekiel 13. It's our Bible calendar reading, available at bbfire.com under resources, PDF downloads, and look for the BBF Bible reading calendar. And chapter 13 begins, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy. And say thou unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts." I am here to tell you that the prophets of today are speaking out of their own hearts. Yeah. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Read verse 3 with me. "Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing." Just because someone says, "Oh, I had a dream. Oh, I had a vision. Oh." You know what? First of all, I don't even believe until after the rapture, that's not going to happen. I'm not saying you can't have a dream where God speaks to you, but it's for you. I don't believe in the office of prophet where he gives you something for the rest of the world. We've got his word right here. Everybody who's saved has his Holy Spirit. Now, after the rapture, Bibles are going to be banned and burned and all that kind of thing. You're going to have 144,000 Apostle Pauls all anointed with the Holy Spirit going around the world preaching the gospel, having visions and dreams. And Joel says he'll pour out his spirit, and his sons and daughters will dream dreams and have visions. Old men will have dreams and visions. It's going to just spread out over God's people. We're not there yet. Most errors taught in churches are just the truth taken from the wrong, from the right dispensation and applied wrongly. That's what that is. So Jesus tells us to look up. That settles it. Amen. Forget the false teachers and don't get shaken by dreams and visions, because then when the rapture doesn't happen, then that'll hurt your faith. That'll hurt your walk with the Lord. How many people know somebody who is following a false teacher or something like that, and when they fell or their prophecy wasn't true or whatever, and they quit? You know why they quit? They didn't quit on the Lord. Their faith wasn't in the Lord. They were just revealing that their faith was in the wrong thing to begin with. So again, verse 28 says, "For your redemption draweth nigh." That's another thing people misunderstand. Redemption. A redemption comes in two events. When you're saved, you are redeemed. That's a legal thing that happened to you. How many of you here today have your glorified body?
No.
Anybody going to claim that? How many of you have like perfect recall? You never walk into a, or like this morning, I walked in to get the hymn books. Jenny asked me one question. I went blank. And we arrived without the hymn books. That easy. I mean, I know if that's glorified, I'm in trouble. Those of you with arthritis, aren't you glad that's not your glorified body? Migraines. You know, whatever it is your ailment is. But then when you're raptured, you will be redeemed at that point. And that's the practical, meaning you experience it at that point. Scripture with scripture. Let's look at the legal redemption in Galatians 3. Galatians chapter 3. That's why we are redeemed in that sense. That's why we know we can't lose salvation. We didn't win it. We didn't earn it to begin with. You are redeemed. Verse 13 and 14, Galatians chapter 3. Give me a second to get there. And look at those first three words. Same with me. Christ hath redeemed. Stop right there. Christ hath redeemed. Past tense. Hath. So it's done deal. What did he redeem us from? The curse of the law being made a curse for us. Jesus took upon him all of our sin on that cross and paid for all of our sin. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. What did they make a cross out of? A tree. Verse 14. Read that with me. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Everybody in here should say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Might come on the Gentiles. What? That redemption. We hath been redeemed. And then there is to come practical redemption. Turn over to Romans. Turn back a few pages in most of your Bibles. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, 20 to 23. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be, what tense is that? Future. Shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption, and that's where we're in right now in our bodies, and all that aches and pains and disease and everything is the bondage of corruption, into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Read the next two verses with me. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. That's when you're going to feel it. Right now we know it, because we know it's God's word. We trust God's word, but that's when we're going to feel it. We're going to be overcome by for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together. That's what it sounds like when I tell you people to stand. Yeah. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. So in closing, I just want to say this. Jesus is coming soon. How many of you know people that just don't even care about whether Jesus is coming soon or not? Even professing Christians. And it's like you try to talk about Jesus coming soon, they don't even want to talk about it. Don't let that ruin your heart. Don't let that affect your heart. You know what? Sometimes you just got to get away from people. When they start talking like that, just get away from them. You hear somebody on TV or whatever, turn the channel, man. You know? I want to look at, in a closing reading, at Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 15, our final reading here. I love, again, the previous verse 10 says, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. 4, read 11 with me. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Now that's hath, past tense. And then those who are saved, verse 12 says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And in this present world, verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And again, verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might what?
Redeem
us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works, not working to be saved, working because we are saved. Amen. And working because we know the night is coming. Working because we know the time that we can do these things is short. You better preach the gospel now, because after the rapture, there's no one you can preach to. Everybody in heaven saved. When you return with Jesus to establish his kingdom, the gospel ministry is done. It's no longer we walk by faith and not by sight, because he's going to be right there on the planet and everybody's going to see him. Everything changes. So if you're going to preach the gospel to a lost soul, and maybe they do, maybe they don't get saved, that's none of your business. You're going to please the Father, and he's going to be happy with you every time you share that gospel message with the lost soul. And what are we here for? Are we here to please the Father? Amen. So if you preach the gospel, he will be pleased, and that's the whole point. Doug?
Oftentimes when I go out and I witness to people, and they try to drag you down, give them your testimony, because they can't take that away from
you. Amen. Yeah, amen. In heaven, all of us will have one important thing in common. We'll have many things in common. But one important thing is how we answer this one question. Why are you here in heaven? Who is worthy? There's only going to be one answer to that question. You are here in heaven because of what Jesus did. No one, there's no boasting. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You're not going to boast in heaven. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Amen. So that's throughout eternity. You're going to have that one thing in common with everybody in heaven. Amen. We're all going to be there because of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time in your word. We thank you for all who were able to listen either in the house or on the phone or in some way on the internet. And we're thankful for the fellowship that we have with those who are believers in Jesus Christ. Such a wonderful blessing, and it is a taste of heaven to be able to talk to somebody who can answer that question the same way. Why are we going to heaven? All because of Jesus. And we thank you that you've given us this revelation of the things that we can see begin to come to pass, and we know you're coming soon. It's such a wonderful encouragement that we take for granted a lot of times. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who gives us the understanding, and we can have that encouragement, and we can look up, not just some empty positive thinking. Look up, because our redemption draws nigh. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. This should be the main purpose of every true church on planet Earth. If there's a church that you know of, I'm talking to you here, you know, this church, if you don't know this, then you're not paying attention. The main purpose of this church is to equip you to be God's messenger out there.
Amen.
That you can talk to people about Jesus Christ, that they might be saved.
Amen.
If you know people in those other churches, I'm not telling you, you should leave that church and come, but you should pray for them.
Amen.
You should pray for them. They'll start to have discernment and realize they're not in a true church if that true church isn't about reaching the lost for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But I also believe that any true church is going to be excited about the any moment coming of Jesus Christ. Every time you take communion, you're looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ, as we did last week. And so much of what we do is all about getting the work done before he returns. And so keep that in mind as you're seeing this, and as we close and you go out throughout your week. If you're not making a concerted effort to have the tracts, I know most of you are, but I don't know if everybody is. As your pastor, I just want to encourage you, try to make it a habit to have some gospel tracts on you. I fail. I don't always do it. I kick myself. Yeah, I see it. I try to kick myself. But we have to have that intention.
Amen.
And we have those tracks. And then also start talking to people about Jesus if you're not already. If you can. Someone, and if they're saved, great. You'll have a good conversation about your Savior.
Amen.
But if they're not saved, you get to tell them about our wonderful Savior. All right, so let's sing it. All four verses.
truth and mercy, a story of peace and life, a story of peace and life. For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright, and Christ's great kingdom shall come to earth. To the Lord, a song that shall conquer evil and shatter the spear and sword, and shatter the spear and sword. For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright, and Christ's great kingdom shall come. Yeah.
was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now saved am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me.
you say, I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.